Alrighty. Our intent is to make this first part of the service a little shorter than normal tonight, so we'll see how that goes. First John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And when everybody finds it, we're going to pause there and pray. All right, let's pray. Father, once again, we come back to you here tonight. We are here to observe the Lord's Supper here tonight. We're glad to be able to do so. We know what it means, Lord, and hope that everyone does by the time we're done. We are grateful to be saved. Father, we hope that if someone here tonight is not, you'll help them see their need for Jesus Christ and what a sweet and good and eternal fellowship it truly is. We pray, Father, that you'll bless now as we attempt to go through some things that, Father, might help every one of us here. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now we'll begin there. I noticed something there. I guess it's one of those things that's kind of tweaked to the back of my brain, if that's accurate, in reading through before and just had really never stopped and examined it quite so carefully. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. So, writing to other people, that you guys can have fellowship with us. Us Christians, that you can have fellowship with us. Notice, and truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He's saying, want you guys to be able to have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father. I wanted you to see there, and we'll see more in a sec, that there's the indication there that our fellowship as Christians flows into and is part of our fellowship with God. He said, look, I want you guys to be able to fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with Jesus Christ, our fellowship with God, right? So there's an issue here where it's saying that our fellowship together as Christians flows into our fellowship with God. Now, this is seen further down in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Well, if we say we have, there's that fellowship with Him again, everybody needs a personal, individual fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, of course, the Bible, prayer, and so on. But He goes on to say, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Again, you have the idea of the fellowship one with another flowing into and having a part of fellowship with God. Now, I know there are limits to this. I'm not suggesting for a moment it's okay for an individual to forsake Bible reading and prayer and meditation. That's not what I'm saying. You can't make mortal fellowship one with another here the exact same thing as fellowship with God. That would be a bad balance, right? But at the same time, it shows you can't be flippant with your relationship with the brethren. It shows you that you can't just blow off fellowship with your brethren, because if what these passages say is true, and others we'll look at here in a second, part of our overall fellowship with God has to do with our relations with each other. And so when you're in proper relationship with each other, the body of Christ, there is an impact in heaven. It does flow into your relationship with God, right? We are used to thinking about this on different scales. First of all, it's plain to everybody that God gave us certain personal relationships. It's supposed to teach us things about, you know, our God and our relationship with God. For instance, commonly, all the time, you know, we know that parents and children here on earth reflect the father's relationship to his children spiritually. Right? Now, again, I mean, I'm not saying that because somebody is a decent parent, therefore they are saved. That doesn't make sense, right? Just because you're a good parent, a decent parent, doesn't mean you're in fellowship with God. But the idea is that in the end, being saved, being a parent, that relationship should teach you stuff about God, and part of that relationship flows into your relationship with God. Here's a man and a wife. We know that reflects Christ's relationship to the church. Again, I mean, I understand that just because some guys are decent husbands, some women are decent wives, that doesn't mean they're saved. And when you are a decent husband or wife, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily in fellowship with God, but it should all flow together for a Christian to be a good wife or a good husband. It should flow into his relationship with God that he or she is a good wife or husband, right? Okay, talking about this. So you have fellowship down here. We have earthly Christian fellowship. We are the body of Christ. That's supposed to reflect a heavenly fellowship. Now, that doesn't mean we throw out everything and our fellowship just becomes this social gospel thing or anything like that. That's not what we're saying at all, but we are saying that if things are right between you and your brethren and our fellowship together is right and good and sweet, that that will benefit your fellowship with God, right? This is seen again if you'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll be in 1 Corinthians 10 here a little later as well. But just the thought that those things flow together as one. And, you know, sometimes folks want to become free agents. They want to, well, we're the body of Christ, and I'm just going to go do my own thing, and the brethren don't matter, and church doesn't matter. Over and over again, as you find, if we go into the deeper days of darkness here, perilous times, you know, you find folks forsaking church. And, you know, I understand why. There's always problems. There's always interpersonal stuff and all that. But when you forsake your brethren, the body of Christ, there's something also that will go wrong in your fellowship with God. Because, brethren, we're all supposed to be together. We're the body of Christ, members in particular. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, right? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, go down to verse 16 and you see this. I think you'll agree that the word communion is pretty close to the word fellowship. It says in verse 16, the cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Okay, well, you know the falsehoods that have been taught there for many, many years that some say that the bread and the wine becomes the body and blood of Christ. So when you partake of it, you're taking in salvation, essentially. But notice verse 17. What is the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. You see in that passage, these folks are going to church, taking part of a spiritual ordinance, and that they are the body. That ordinance has to do with the body of Christ, but the folks taking the ordinance, taking the bread, are the body of Christ. My point is, again, folks, your fellowship and relationship, one with another as the family of God, the children of God, has something to do with what kind of relationship you have with God. To completely draw a line between the two and say they're not related cannot be true. It's just not true. Now, my point here tonight is the Lord plainly has very high expectations for the body of Christ. It's more than getting together and having good food. It's more than having a Super Bowl Sunday party, which don't look forward to that because we're not going to have one. It's more than having a great time. And by the way, I heard a preacher here recently say, "Oh, I love social networking." I got news for you. Fellowship and Facebook are not the same thing. Just telling you it's true. Look, the point is that these days folks don't have much of a vision. I mean, they may have a vision in their church to grow big and grow fast and have all this fun and have ministries and set records and all this stuff. But as far as having a spiritual vision for what your local body of Christ is supposed to be, sometimes there's just very little vision for it. Look, the Bible says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Right? Look at something else real quick along those lines. Look in Ephesians 4. Now, we're not going to be long, and you don't have to turn too much here. So just hang in here with me. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:13. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Well, folks, that's the body of Christ. And I know that the body of Christ is bigger than Blessed Hope Baptist Church, way, way bigger. But this is the expression of the body of Christ right here in this place. And the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Go down to verse 12, talking about the gifts given to the church. He gave some, verse 11, apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Till we all come to be a perfect man. Look, the Lord has a broad vision, a high vision for what we are supposed to be. It's a perfect man. We're supposed to become one, right? All right, again, our fellowship here together is not just in fun and frolic and food, the three F's. our fellowship together here, folks, is built around a lot more than that. It says He wants us to become a perfect man. Look at something else in Ephesians 1, real quick. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and notice verse 22. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. My point is that He plainly has much higher and deeper spiritual vision for what we are supposed to be to each other. And ladies and gentlemen, from what I showed you in 1 John chapter 1, I believe those things flow into our relationship with God. Our relationship with God should not be hindered by our relationship with each other, right? Our relationship with God should be helped by our relationship with each other. Now, in light of that, I want to talk to you about our fellowship out of 1 John 1. Go back, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I just have a few observations. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And again, let me read verse 16 for you. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. You, as the church, are the bread and the body. So when we take communion here later and pass the bread out, what you're symbolizing is not just your partaking of Christ, you're symbolizing your unity one with another. We are the body of Christ. Verse 17, for ye are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Now, we're talking about our fellowship here tonight. He said, I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Now, there's a observation I can draw from this. Our fellowship, I'm talking about our fellowship one with another that flows over into our fellowship with God. Our fellowship is deeply spiritual. And sometimes we treat it flippantly, sometimes in some churches somewhere. I mean, folks just come and nobody even cares whether they're saved or not. They don't care about their spiritual condition. As long as they're happy and contributing and present, everything's grand. But it's much more than that. I want you to see that our fellowship is deeply spiritual. These folks here did not, these Gentiles in verse 20 do not understand that the communion is not a sacrifice. And because they think it's a sacrifice, look, Jesus Christ was already sacrificed for you. There are no more sacrifices that Jesus Christ is making, okay? He sacrificed Himself once, forever, and always. It is not a continuing sacrifice. It doesn't happen again, right? And if you say, as Roman Catholics do, if you say that the communion is a sacrifice, the Bible says that by that very action that they are having, in verse 20, fellowship with devils, they are not, they're sacrificing not to God, but rather to devils. Now, what that means is that this fellowship thing, this fellowship with devils, arises out of a misunderstanding, okay? Now, here we are together tonight. We're going to, by God's grace, partake of the communion. We call it communion. We're talking about communion and fellowship. I wanted you to see that what we're doing here together, this communion, represents the fact that you and I, if you're saved, that you are part of the body of Christ. You're literally in Christ spiritually, right? And as members in particular, all of us here together, we're going to partake of that bread. It shows a partaking of Christ. It also shows that we are partakers one with another. As we fellowship together, so in some ways goes our fellowship with God, right? Okay, these folks thought they were doing it unto God, but they were doing it unto devils. Now, folks, if you haven't thought about it deeply, that's scary that somebody could come together as a body and by misapprehending something relatively simple, and perhaps they misapprehend it even innocently, they actually are sacrificing and fellowshipping with devils and not with God. That their fellowship together, that group action, is fellowship with devils and not to God. All I'm saying is that our fellowship and communion together does reflect and flow over into our relationship with God. Right? So first of all, I will say, it is deeply spiritual. It's not something we should take lightly. I'm not just talking about communion. I'm talking about our friendships. I'm talking about our relationships together. I'm talking about what you are to me and I am to you and you are to each other. All those things. We are brethren. We are fellow priests unto God. There's not a soul here that's saved that's not a priest unto God that's called to make spiritual sacrifices to God. Right? And what we do together here, nobody's suggesting we become a social club and just do bingo and poker on Friday night or whatever. If we turn it into a social club, okay, that's not what God intended. But I am saying that your relationship, that our relationship one with another, our fellowship does reflect and flow into our fellowship with God. Okay? There's something else I can say about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And notice verse 14, we find the word fellowship again in here. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Okay, we're talking there. Well, We're talking about our fellowship. We've found out that our fellowship is deeply spiritual. You may be doing more with your pure fellowship together than you realize. You may be doing more damage than you realize if you've not apprehended communion right. You could be fellowshipping with devils, not worshiping God. Okay? So it's deeply spiritual. One. Two, it is in faith. Look in, again, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? We don't have real fellowship with somebody that's not saved, right? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Your fellowship one with another is supposed to be in faith. Your fellowship with God depends on faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, right? Now, nobody's suggesting that you spend all your time with your brother or sister in Christ, and that means that you have good fellowship with God. We're not saying that, but your relationship one with another here does flow into and does reflect on your relationship with God. That's all we're saying. And it is in faith. Our fellowship one with another is in faith. Everybody understands that our fellowship with God is in faith. Your fellowship with one another is in faith too. It should be in faith. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? I can say this, verse 14. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? I'll say that you and I both know that our relationship with God is supposed to be in righteousness. It is also worthwhile to recommend, to understand that our relationship and fellowship one with another should be in righteousness. All too often, even Christians get messed up by bad friends. Evil communications corrupt good manners, right? And all too often, ladies and gentlemen, fellowship of believers together is not all that righteous, okay? We should be concerned about being right and doing right when we're together, because the fact of the matter is that does bleed over into our relationship with God. If I have a friend who's trying to convince me to do wrong, I yield to it. He has just hurt my relationship with God. If I have a friend that is my spiritual better, that is ahead of me in maturity, and he encourages me to do right in a way that I have not done right before, and I do it, he has benefited me, and I have benefited in my relationship with God by my righteous relationship with my brother. And folks, what we need is a church full of righteous people. I'm not talking about self-righteous people. I'm not talking about somebody that can't be reproved and think they're always right. But the congregation needs to be a body of folks concerned about right and wrong. Is it right? Is it wrong? They're concerned about righteousness and concerned about each other's righteousness. That's a good thing, not a bad. That doesn't make anybody a Pharisee. Look, I want to be right. That doesn't make me a Pharisee. Do you want to be right? Well, that's the thing. And he says here that what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And you better, you know, you've got to watch your brethren. You have to watch your friends. Don't let somebody drag you down. They drag you down, they hurt your relationship with God. But it is in righteousness. There's something else in the passage too. Notice again in verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? You see there that communion and fellowship is pretty much the same thing. In fact, I would say they are the same thing. We call what we're going to do tonight communion, but what are you trying to do? You're trying to fellowship with one another and with God in the process, right? Well, what communion hath light with darkness? Okay. Our fellowship should be in the light. Look again in 1 John 1. 1 John 1. Now we know that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That part is right and good. We know that we're supposed to go to God in the light and walk in the light as He is in the light. Notice though how this, once again, the emphasis of this bleeding over into our earthly lives here. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship, notice, one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Okay, our fellowship should be in the light. If we're walking with God and we're walking with one another in the light, our fellowship here will be a help to everyone here in their fellowship with God. Right? Look at one more thing along those lines. 1 John 2, this enters in, and you know, we couldn't make this complete without mentioning this along the way. 1 John 2, 9, He that saith he is in the light, well, that's what we're talking about, our fellowship being in the light. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. Walking in the light has to do with walking in love. It has to do with walking in the truth, yes, but we're walking in love one toward another. Our love one toward another, brethren, helps us love God. Where would I be without a handful of Christian examples that taught me, that loved me, and I loved them, but in the process, they taught me and helped me love God more. I'm telling you, folks, your fellowship together flows over into your fellowship and relationship with God. That's why the Lord says what He says about making sure that when somebody gets married, a Christian gets married, you need to marry in the Lord. Because the one that's not saved, if he or she doesn't get saved, you are in a heap of trouble. You are yoked together with an unbeliever, and it's not going to go that well for your fellowship with God. It's inevitable that it deteriorates it, right? Okay? It is in the light, which means it is in love. There's a couple other things here. Look in Acts chapter 2. Our fellowship is deeply spiritual. Our fellowship one with another is in faith, it is in righteousness, it is in the light, and along with that line comes walking in love. Look in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and notice verse 41. And then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. This is the day of Pentecost. So a lot happened that day. Verse 42 goes on to say, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking bread and in prayers. Okay, doctrine and fellowship. They continued in the apostles' fellowship. Well, let me just say that part of our fellowship is in doctrine. It says there that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now, let me take you to another verse, Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Those disciples were greatly benefited by being around those apostles. Those apostles had the word of the Lord. They were teaching those folks the word of the Lord. That was doctrine. They were greatly benefited by the apostles' doctrine. Their relationship with God was greatly benefited by their relationship one with another with those apostles, because those apostles were teaching Bible. Right? Now, along those lines, Ephesians chapter 3, and notice down around verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. He says, I want folks to see what the fellowship of this mystery is. It's been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Okay, what is this, the fellowship of this mystery back in verse 9? Well, the fellowship of that mystery has to do with the church apprehending the manifold wisdom of God. Okay? I've said, our fellowship is in doctrine then in Acts 2 and in wisdom. Okay? We are benefited one with another when we have right doctrine and when we are wise. And when we have right doctrine and are wise one with another, brethren, that affects your relationship with God. Our fellowship is in doctrine. And our fellowship is in the manifold wisdom of God. Right? It's what we labor in. There's something else I'd have you see. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any, notice, fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be through strife, be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now he began that back in verse 1 with, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, and if any fellowship of the Spirit, and then goes on following up that fellowship of the Spirit with, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Fellowship of the Spirit, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, our fellowship should be in accord. When we are in accord with what we believe and what we are and what we should be doing, and when we have one mind and one opinion about what we should be doing and what we should be, folks, it reflects in time your relationship with God as well. If we're right here and pushing hard to be right and stay right and be in accord and unity, and the music is not all discord and rah, you know, like some music is, but it's in melody, it's in accord, it fits together, it's melodic. Folks, that's a good thing, and you having that relationship here will flow into your relationship with God. It's hard for you to stay right if things are always in conflict and headbutting with your brethren. Right? Look in Ephesians 4 real quick. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and notice verse 3, very much along the same lines of what we were talking about there. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All right? It is in accord. This is biblical unity. It's being in accord on doctrine, laboring in the wisdom of God, laboring in righteousness, walking in the light. That's unity. Unity is not just gathering around and throwing a Super Bowl party and having a great time at a Super Bowl party because, you know, it's just so much fun and we just had such a good time. That doesn't help your relationship with God. But being in one accord as brethren, being of one mind, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, that'll help your relationship with God. I have one last thing. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, I hope you know that I want to acknowledge again, I realize sometimes, if you emphasize man too much and friendship too much and mortal, earthly, temporal fellowship too much, you can lose God in the process. That's absolutely true. If you're spending all your time with the brethren or other people instead of spending time in the Bible and in prayer, Well, eventually that's not going to help you, right? But I am saying we do have a relationship one with another here, and we are supposed to be growing up to be, all of us together, one new man. This is the pillar and ground of the truth. We're supposed to be laboring together to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Have one doctrine, one mind about things, right? That being true, those things being all equal, that should help your relationship with God personally. Now, there's one last thing I wanted to point out. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And notice verse 2. How that in a great trial of afflictions, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They gave liberally, they abounded. Verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. He said what these folks did is they pitched in and threw in and gave liberally, and they pitched in and they took upon themselves the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, when you send a love offering to a missionary to try to win somebody to Christ and so forth, you're ministering not only to sinners, you're ministering to saints. Okay? Remind you, Jesus Christ came not to this world to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Right? All too often, people come together into a group like this, and what they're doing, they're coming to see if they can find somebody to marry. Or they're coming to see if they can find somebody to be best friends with. Or they're coming for other social issues. If we have bingo, then they want to come and play bingo because bingo is the attraction. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, your fellowship can't survive that. Your fellowship, as Jesus Christ's fellowship with those apostles, He called men so He could grow them up and disciple them to minister to somebody else. This is not about you. It's not about your happiness, primarily. Do I believe that you will get joy receiving the truth, walking in the light, and living for God? I do believe that you will receive peace and joy for doing so. But this is not about you. Well, I just went and I didn't like it. Well, but did the Lord want you there? And was it the right place for you? It doesn't matter if you liked it or not. Right? It's not about you. The thing is, you can come in and be completely wrong about a dozen things that's going to take the Lord 6 months to square away with you from the Word of God. And if you're easily offended, you may walk out on any one of those weeks. But it's not about you. It's not about whether you're happy. It's not about whether you're mad, whether you're sad, whether you're depressed. It's about whether you're in the right place and you're getting the Word of God, and whether you're walking in the light and whether you're doing righteously, and whether those folks around you are trying to urge you to righteousness and holiness and goodness. That's what it's about. It's about whether you're teachable and reprovable and whether or not you will grow. But beyond that, it's not about you. These days, folks come to church and they want to know what the church can do for me. What do you have for youth? What do you have for children's church? What do you have for? What do you have for? What do you have for me? What do you have for it? Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give His life a ransom for many. These folks were commended for desiring for Paul to take upon himself the fellowship of their ministering to the saints. They didn't want to be ministered to. They wanted to minister to somebody else. Now, folks, if you're in a place that's interested in doing for somebody else, it will help you in your relationship with God. These things flow from a right fellowship. I don't know exactly which comes first. You have to be saved first. You do have to have a fellowship with God. But when you get with the right group that's teaching the right Bible, they're walking in light and such, that group, that fellowship of brethren, that church will help you in your relationship with Jesus Christ. All right. We're going to go into our communion service here. I want to make sure that we're clear.